Chapter 1. Happy Death Day to Me. Risk Assessment Analysis. Odds of being killed by lightning. 2,320,000 to 1. Odds of being killed in a plane crash. 52.6 million to 1. Odds of dying in your shrink's office during some ridiculous therapy session involving a vampire bat. Actually, that kind of shit tends only to happen to me. Hey there, Mr. Blumenstein, how is your day? Every evening, when I return to my apartment building, the concierge, i.e. the lanky, pimple-faced, pubescent son of my landlord, asks me the above question in his trademark, faux cheery, sounds like he's been kicked in the nuts a few too many times, voice. On most days, I refuse to answer this inquiry, because personally, I find it offensive. Now, I know some of you readers out there are probably thinking I'm rude for snubbing little Jimmy over there, who, after all, was just trying to be polite, right? Make conversation? Well, allow me to explain myself. On principle, I resolutely refuse to respond to any question where the asker doesn't give two shits about my reply. Am I supposed to believe that little Jimmy is truly concerned for my well-being? That he is actually expecting me to provide him with any sort of response to his question other than, fine and dandy, how is yours? Because, honestly, most of the time, my days are total and complete crap. But does little Jimmy want to hear about that? Does he want me to tell him about the fact that I am nearly 40 and haven't had sex in 6 years? That my boss hates me? That I'm a massive disappointment to my family? No! Little Jimmy wants me to lie, and I refuse to perjure myself for some snot-nosed kid. And yet, on this particular day, circumstances have unfolded in such an extreme way during the past 12 or so hours that I decide, just this once, to answer little Jimmy. And to his inane question, instead of merely grunting or simply ignoring him, like I usually do, I respond, well, aside from being brutally murdered, my day was pretty fucking fabulous. Now, technically, this too is a lie. Well, the part about my day being fucking fabulous, at least. My day, quite literally, sucked. Nevertheless, this was the answer I gave little Jimmy, or whatever the twit's actual name is, just to see how he would respond. Ha ha, good one, Mr. Blumenstein, squeaks the boy wonder. You have a great night, he chirps after me, as I head across the lobby to the elevator. You see what I mean? You try to impart an important piece of personal information to someone, and all they do is laugh in your face. Sighing, I reach into my messenger bag, pull out a tissue, secure it tightly over my pointer finger with a rubber band, and enter the already open double doors of the elevator, which, thank the Lord, is empty. With my covered finger, by the way, did you know that nearly 15% of all elevator buttons are covered with human feces? But I digress. Anyway, with my covered finger, I press the number 6, which responds to my command by lighting up. Or, at least it would if my dipshit landlord ever got around to fixing the elevator. Instead, the elevator door closes, and I ride in utter and complete darkness for 6 floors, which I mind less today than I would under normal circumstances. By the time I enter my apartment, I'm dead tired. Hardy har har. Upon removing the tissue from my finger, triple locking my door, and fastening the chain across it. I then bend down to put my doorstop, a 6x4-inch cement block, in front of it. Seem a bit excessive to you? Did you know that the odds of having your apartment broken into by a gang of hoodlums are as small as 1 in 1,000? And if that was to happen to me, who do you think would come to my rescue? My 84-year-old neighbor, Miss Tingle? My dipshit landlord? Little Jimmy? I'd rather take my chances throwing out my back, which I've done about 5 times since I moved in. Thank you very much. My apartment safely secured, I slouched dejectedly in front of the full-length mirror situated in my entrance foyer. Staring back at me is a pasty, prematurely bald, although I gather once you pass 30, the premature label is debatable, paunchy loser in an ill-fitting suit. Still ugly, I mutter under my breath at my mirror image, who, having taken offense to my comment, glares back at me as if to say, pot calling kettle, whatever the heck that saying is supposed to be. For the record, all those movies and books that would lead you to believe that people who turn into what I turned into suddenly become all Brad Pitt in the looks department are a crock of shit. That is, unless, of course, you are Brad Pitt, in which case, more fucking power to you, I guess. Without passing go or collecting $200, I head directly to my bed and flop down on my mattress, fully dressed. But I can't sleep because my head is spinning and the wooden headboard hovering over me makes me feel as though I am sleeping in a coffin, which, while apropos of the situation, disturbs me greatly. Thirsty, I head to my fridge and take a swig of milk straight from the carton, which is actually statistically shown to be more germ-free than glassware, especially if you live alone like me. Even though the expiration date on the carton is still over a week away, the milk tastes rancid. So I spit it out and spill the contents of the carton into the sink. I then pop open a can of non-name brand soda. I'll be damned if I have to pay over $1 for a can of pop when the 50-cent cans are just as good. But it tastes terrible too. Resolved to my fate, I reach into my messenger bag and remove a bulky mason jar I received earlier that evening from Dr. Freenley. Taking a deep breath, I open the jar, close my eyes, and pour its entire contents down my throat. The red liquid is warm and thick, but it feels good going down. So good that I don't even mind it when some of the liquid trickles down my chin and a chunky globule lands on and ruins my brand new shirt. Once I have finished, I forlornly rinse out the empty jar and place it with the rest of the recycling. To my relief, I recall that Dr. Freenley had placed 2 more jars of the stuff in my bag. I extract them and place them on my counter, staring at them in confusion. Am I supposed to refrigerate these? I think to myself. Do not refrigerate, reads a handwritten label hastily secured on one of the jars. After putting the 2 jars away in a nearby cabinet, I slump down into a chair in front of my kitchen table and begin to ponder my last hours among the living.